I'd like to invite you tonight over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 21.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 21 says this. It says, "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together as your people. Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts and minds, that we would hear the truth you have for us this evening. And Lord, the blessings that you have for us as we seek you, Lord, may you guide us into your paths and into your will and way, that we might be found faithful when you return. So bless each and every one, Lord, and help us to draw closer to you by your mercy and grace. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply An Intimate Relationship with God. That's what he wants to have with each and every one of us, and that is a close relationship. In fact, when you consider this here, he says, and he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So he's saying that not just his mother and his brethren, but anybody, right, can enter into this kind of a relationship that we can have with him. And so we look at him, and he is, of course, the God-man. He's the Savior of the world. God sent him into the world. And of course, that gets a little bit beyond our comprehension. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, how they're all three one, and yet they're different. It was the job, or it was the calling, or the position of the Son to be willing to come, the Father willing to send him, to give us eternal life. And in so doing that, it causes us to enter into a relationship that we've never had before with God, the God, the triune God that we serve. And now the Lord is saying, you can go even deeper if you'd like to. You can draw even closer and experience the grace of God in a greater way. So tonight we're just going to consider a couple of thoughts as we look to our text. And keep this thought in mind. Everything is all congruent or working together or associated with everything that's taking place right here. And so we're going to look at the disciples' inquiry, right? They were inquiring. They wanted, they had an interest in the things that God was saying, and they wanted to understand it. Then we'll see the Lord's interpretation of the parable. And the last thought will be the Lord's instruction of the parable. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 9. And again, when we talk about hearing the word of God here, we want to understand that when in verse 21 there again, it says, which hear the word of God and do it. The word here, the word of God, or hear, is akouo, which means to attend with the idea of following what was heard, or to give ear to a teaching or to a teacher that is teaching a certain truth, right? In this particular case, it's the Lord. And he was saying those who hear, those who have a desire to look into and understand, God opens up these things to our hearts and minds. And so that's an important thought as we consider our text tonight. And we need to be careful, as the Bible says, to not become dull of hearing. We can become dull, hard-hearted, and we have to approach it with the understanding, Lord, I need you to open up my heart and mind that I might understand what you have for me, because we serve an infinite God, right? There's no end to him, and because there's no end to him, there's no end to the truths that he has for you and I to enjoy. So look with me, if you will, in verse 9. And here's the disciples' inquiry. They had an interest in the things of God. Verse 9 says this, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Right? That's a good thing to do when you don't understand something. Ask the Lord, and then seek the Lord in the answer that he has for us. And so they wanted to know what this parable meant. And of course, this is the parable of the sower and the seed here. And so we're just going to get right to the meat of the matter here. And notice what he says here in verse 10. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, might not see, and in hearing they might not understand. Isn't that amazing? What is it that causes people not to see and not to understand? Well, they take the things of God very lightly, of not being important, or they've heard it before, and they don't have an intent or an interest in the things that God is trying to say and not realizing that we need the Lord to open up our hearts and minds so that we can understand what he has for us, because nothing that the Lord says or nothing that the Lord does is just flippant or just haphazard, you know, here, we'll just go ahead and do it here and there. He has a purpose and a plan for everything that he spells out. So notice what he says here. He says, unto you it is given. That's important. And he explains to them in verse 9. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So he was talking about how some of it fell on rocky ground. Some of it fell amongst the thorns. And he's going to get into that here in just a moment. And so he's wanting them to understand something here. And that is that the seed is the word of God. And then he begins to explain in verse 12. He says this. Those by the wayside, are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Isn't that amazing how the devil comes? And the devil comes and he tempts people with their sin, and he tempts things with ideas that would distract them from focusing in on the word of God, and he takes the seed of the word of God out of their hearts so that it doesn't grow, and they're happy to do it. They're happy to say, oh, you know, it's too difficult, or I don't really have that great of an interest. But it's amazing, you know, because it surprises me that I'm saved. Amen. I mean, I'm blessed and I'm thankful for that. Why in the world didn't I? Because I was caught up in the things of the world. I had interest in my understanding in the natural realm. I wanted to be a good individual. I wanted to make a good living. I wanted to have a nice family. But none of those things really take place without the Lord. Not with real purpose anyway. You can have an existence, but no future, no hope, and really nothing to give your family without the Lord Jesus Christ. What good is it to give your family or your loved ones everything that's passing away instead of those things that are forever? And that's what the Lord is wanting you and I to have and to receive and also to enjoy and to share with our family and with the whole world. So he says, I want you to understand that those by the wayside, they hear the word of God, but then the devil takes it away, and then they're not saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. For a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. They believe. Not necessarily received, but they believed, and then they fell away. I mean, you know, they started out well. I don't know if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan from the 1600s. It's the second book that is most read aside of the Bible, if you believe it or not. And here he is. He was given this allegorical story, and Pliable had the idea of going with Christian to the celestial city, which is where the Lord was at, which is where salvation was at. So he was pointed by evangelists how to go, and then all of a sudden they're happy to go, and he's just kind of flippant, you know, kind of like, okay, that sounds good, let's go. And then they started out on their journey, and he says, tell me about this journey. And he says, oh, this is what's in the celestial city. And next thing you know, they fall into the slough of despond, right? And they're all in the mire and in the muck. And see, the difference was, Pilgrim had a weight, and it was his conviction. It was sin on his back, and it felt like he was going to take him underneath. And Pliable said, oh my goodness, if this is how the starting out of it's going to be, what will the end be? He says, you take that kingdom for yourself. I'm going back. And he went back to the city of destruction, and Pilgrim or Christian kept going on. And then all of a sudden there was another man on the other side that was there to pull him out of the slough of despond. And the Christian said, he said, why? He was Pilgrim at the time. But anyway, he said, why is this here? And he says, this is where all the sin of the city of destruction runs into, and this is why it's here. And so it's a challenge, it's a trial to get to the other side, and you have to really want it to get over there, see? And the same way in our lives, we have to really want the promises and the blessings of the Lord, and there will be trials and there will be temptations, and sometimes it's there just to try us to see if that's really what we really want, or if we're just going to go ahead and turn off to the side and say, forget about it. The Lord wants those that are genuine with him. Amen? Because he's genuine with us. He says, I am willing. And I am wanting to give you the greatest treasures and the promises that have eternal value. So notice what it says again, verse 13. And they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe in time of temptation, they fall away, right? Verse 14. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So stop and ponder this thought right here. Here he is, he's saying, these are the ones that fell amongst the thorns, and they hear and they go forth, and all of a sudden they get choked up with the cares. They get more focused on the things of this world that are passing away than the things that are eternal, and they're given over to those things, and then all of a sudden the things of the Spirit, they kind of are off to the side, right? They're not focused on, they're not important to them, and he says they bring no fruit to perfection. Then look, notice verse 15 here, and these are those that are on the good ground. He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, you see what's required? An honest and a good heart. What does that mean? I'm willing to be honest with you, Lord. This is what's important. And whatever you call sin, anything and everything that you call sin, I'll call it sin too. And if it's in the eyes of the world, it could be just a little thing. But if it's whatever it is, I'm willing to call it, because that's how the Lord leads us and that's how he works with us. When we fall into sin, we can confess that. But if we don't think, oh, that's that big of a deal, we won't confess it. And what will happen is we're not going to really be fruitful as he would have us. So he says, this is the criteria. This is what's really important. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, notice what they do. They keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And that's what's important. He's saying, listen, you've got to be honest with the Lord, not because of who's watching or who isn't watching, but because you want a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. You want to walk with him, and you're willing to say anything and everything what he says you will agree with, right? That means we surrender our will to his. We say, whatever it is that you say is not right, I want to do that also. And God sees that. Do you think God knows our hearts? Yes. Does he know our hearts better than we know our own hearts? Absolutely. So he's saying, okay, what are you really all about? Are you really willing to lay it all down for me? All of it. You lay it all down, and whatever I say to you, you will do and you will follow. Then he says, now I can work with you, right? Because you're a willing individual. Remember, God never infiltrates. He never forces himself on anybody. But all those who will and want that, he says, I will show you the way. So as we consider this, we're going to look at the Lord's interpretation of the parable. And notice what he says here. He says, verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle. So we're talking about light, right? And the light really that the Lord is speaking about is the work of God in a believer's life that can be seen and should be seen by everyone, especially in the believer's own home. Because this is what we're talking about. Notice verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, right? You don't go to somebody else's house and do that. So this is talking about your own house right here. And we don't put that under on a bed, but what do? We set it on a candlestick. Why? That they which enter in may see the light. That those which enter in. By the way, in our own home, those that enter in are our own family mostly, right? And we want everybody to see it, but so the light begins, and the work of the Lord's light in our life really must begin in our own home. And we have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I need you, and I want you to do that work in my life personally so that I can have a right relationship with you and have the right influence that you would have me to have for those in my own home. What good is it really to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and lose our own family? What good would that? That would not be any good. So, verse 17. For nothing is secret with the Lord. Do you see that, verse 17? Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. In other words, it's going to come out in the wash. Amen? It's all going to be seen and shown. Notice verse 18. Take heed, therefore, because of that, take heed, therefore, how you what? how you hear. How you hear. Remember that word hear is akouo, and that means to attend with the idea of following what was heard, to give ear to a teaching or to a teacher that is instructing us. Who's instructing us tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, right? And so he's saying, here's what I want you to see and understand, and you must decide how you're going to do, how you're going to receive this. Are you going to agree with the Lord? Are you going to say, listen, I don't have time for that. I've heard it before, and I'll just chalk it off. Or, no, this has got to take place in my life. See, that's where the difference is at. I need this in my life. When God speaks, we need whatever he's saying in our own personal lives. So he says, the Lord says, take heed therefore because of these things, because everything that's in secret is going to be made manifest, and our influence for the cause of Christ on others is on the line as well. And our own relationship, we'll see that here in just a moment, our own fellowship with our God is also on the line. We can hinder and we can harm our relationship with the Lord. We can keep the Lord from doing, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Does the Bible not tell us that? We can grieve the Holy Spirit, and it would cause us to miss out on the blessings that he has for each and every one of us. So he says, verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So the Lord is saying, there are some that have appearances. In the Lord's day, were there some that had appearances, right? They looked spiritual. But they were whited sepulchers, right? They were full of dead men's bones. They had an outward show, but inwardly, he says, they were dead. They had no life of Christ. And he says, now we have to be aware of that. And to what degree? To say, here's the truth, ready? All of us are dead without the Lord. All of us are dead. And so, Lord, I'll be the first one to tell you, I am not. Patient, kind, long-suffering, forbearing. I am not any of those things. I can't do those things. So what should I do? Well, it's just the way it goes, right? Well, how's that going to bode for me in life? I'm going to be a failure, spiritually speaking, and I won't hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what shall I do? Shall I just try harder and fail again and try harder and fail again? Or shall I realize who is the deliverer of my sin? Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ delivers us. So, Lord, I need you in my life. First of all, Lord, I need you in my life to give me the right way to think. And the right way to think is the way that you think. And anything that is contrary to that way of thinking is wrong. See, I've got to be willing to place in my heart, place in my mind that I will settle that. Lord, if your word says it, and I am involved in it, and you say that's not what we're to do, then I'm the one that's wrong. And I need you to help me because I don't want to walk wrong before you. I want to walk right with you. So I want the Lord to be number one in my life. How about you? I believe you. I believe we all want that. And so this is the way to do it. So he says again, he says, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, you don't have the reception of hearing and believing the word of God and walking in that truth. But it says, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. There's a form of godliness, but there's no power. And we've all been there. In other words, we love the Lord, but if we're in the flesh, is it possible for us to be in the flesh? Have you ever been in the flesh? I've been in the flesh more than once, more than I'd like to say. And I will just tell you, that is the life of defeat. Amen? That's how we're defeated. When we try to do things in our power, in our strength, in fact, mark it down. When we're trying to do things for the Lord, that's the first mistake. We're going to fail, and we've all failed. All of us. Even the Apostle Paul said, oh, the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do those things. Who's going to deliver me from this flesh? And of course, he said, he thanked the Lord Jesus Christ that he delivered him. And he's the same deliverer for you and I. So the last thought here, we found here the disciples' inquiry of this of the parable. And we ought to want to inquire about the things that have an interest in the things of God. The Lord gives an interpretation interpretation of the parable concerning the light. And then also we find the Lord's instruction here. And this, again, is this intimate relationship that the Lord wants to have with the believer. And this relationship really takes place in our lives exactly the same way we got saved. And that's by faith. Amen? Everything, listen, it takes faith or trust to please the Lord. Trust in who? In the Lord. Right? For us to trust in Jesus, for us to trust in the Lord to perform His work. So I don't want to just hear that. That's good. I want to receive that. I want to believe and receive it for myself and say, okay, Lord, I am trusting You. I'm going to have faith in You. Is God trustworthy? So if I say, Lord, I'm going to trust You that I'm going to walk upright by Your mercy and Your grace and Your love, and then expect it. Don't doubt, right? A doubting person is tossed back and forth. Don't doubt. Just say, okay, today. Now listen, when we fail, we are going to fail, but let's not make that an excuse. Let's say, Lord, I'm sorry. The moment we fail, see, if we're on board with the Lord, we will begin to spot out the flesh like that. But without that, we're walking in sin, and we're excusing it. We'll say, well, that's just the way it is. That's just me, you know, after all, I'm just only human, right? No, we're more than human with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is spiritual. And so we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So God has given you and I an opportunity that no one else has outside of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is His power in us, the hope of glory and the glory of the Lord, and a testimony and a witness of the wonderful grace and love of God in our lives. So notice this, verse 19. Then came to Him His mother and His brethren and could not come at Him for the press. You know, nothing with the Lord is by accident. You know that, right? So this was perfect. This really dovetailed right into an explanation and of the kind of relationship that the Lord wants to have with you and I and all of His people. So He says they couldn't come to Him. And it was told Him, verse 20, by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee." And notice His answer, verse 21. And He answered and said to them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." And He may have been pointing to His disciples at that moment because they're following Him. Now, question, were they following Him perfectly? No. Did they fail? Absolutely. But the Lord said, like these. Isn't that good? Hey, the Lord can say that about you and I. As long as we have a heart. Listen, when Peter failed, it bothered him. Amen? It bothered him. And listen, you remember, even when he denied the Lord, do you remember what the Bible says? He wept how? Bitterly. He wept bitterly. Isn't that amazing? Because it bothered him. You know, you and I ought to weep bitterly when we fail the Lord. Why? Because we're leaning in our own on our own strength. And so imagine this. The Lord says, here, listen, you want to know who my mother and my brethren are? They are they which hear the word of God and do it. Now listen, I don't think you want to know who my family is? Those who listen to me. We would never say that. See, God, listen, because God is who He is, He says, I love all of those who belong to me and hear my word and follow my word. Now He loves us all, but He says, you want to know who the intimate ones are? He loves us all. But you want to know the ones that are really close? I like the Apostle John. Don't you? Everywhere he went, you hear him, he's talking like, and his head was on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the disciple, he wrote, I like the disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen? That's good. That's important. Hey, listen, you and I also can have that same place and that same position, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why? Because we want to hear the word of God and by the grace and power and mercy of God, do it. How much of it? All of it. All of it. So tonight, we have the potential of having an intimate, even a greater intimate relationship with our God. You and I can draw even nearer to the Lord. We're not too close to the Lord, are we, that we can't draw nearer to the Lord? And so that ought to be our striving. Lord, I want to draw nearer, Lord, and nearer to you. I want to draw so close to the Lord that I can sense His presence. Amen? And that I can sense His love and His mercy and His grace in my life, that it might overflow and truly be. And by the way, then we become that light. And where does the Lord want that light? He wants that light, because it's His light in us, out where everybody can see it. That the testimony of the love of God can be seen in your life and mine. And that is what the Lord wants. And boy, oh boy, listen. I know it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we celebrate by exchanging gifts and try to give people things that they like, right? I don't like those white elephant parties, amen? Well, I don't want anybody's junk, amen? And I know they're fun, and I participated in them. I'm not against them. I just want you to know I'm not against them. I'm just telling them they're not my favorite, all right? But I love it. I love it. How about you? When somebody finds out something that you like, and they make an investment, right? And they give it to you because, or you give it to them, however it might be, because you want to see what? Their face light up, right? Do you know joy and love and all these things? And God is wanting to give us that gift, amen, to a great extent. And why? Because when He gives us that gift, you and I have the same opportunity to give His gift that He gave to us, to our family and to a lost and dying world. So tonight, God wants an intimate relationship with us if we'll have it. Amen. Would you stand as we prepare break off for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne tonight. We do thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace and Your love for us and Your willingness, Lord, to draw us even closer to You. Lord, may each and every one of us call upon You to give us a heart to hunger and thirst for You and Your righteousness, that we might draw ever nearer to You and experience Your great grace. So bless Northwood Baptist Church in that way, and bless us, Lord, as we now break off for prayer. And we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.